Psalm 118 for the benefit of the recording. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and as we look into your word, may we see Christ, may we see the fulfillment of the psalm in Christ, and may we also perceive and understand that because of Christ, the benefits of this psalm comes to us as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving, right? Straight off you say, give thanks. And it is specifically to give thanks to God for his enduring mercy. So there are 3 points that we will consider tonight. God's love will not let his people go. All right, that's the first point. Then secondly, how God shows this enduring love to his people. And thirdly, how God extends this enduring love to Christ. So God will not let his people go. He shows this love to his people, but how? And he also shows this love to Christ. So firstly, God's love will not let his people go. Now verse 1, it says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, very simple, we see here, we give thanks. Why? Well, because God is good. But why is he good, especially? Because his mercy endures forever. Right? So, this is why God is good. So, we are exhorted to give thanks because of these two reasons. Now, who are the ones who are exhorted to give thanks here? Now, you'll notice in verses 2, 3, and 4, there are three groups of people. It's almost as if the psalmist is on a broken record, right? First is the house of Israel, right? Give thanks, for his mercy endureth forever. Then it's the house of Aaron, give thanks, for his mercy endureth forever. Then thirdly, that he that fear the Lord, give thanks, for his mercy endureth forever. So there are three groups, the nation of Israel, the house of Aaron, and they that fear the Lord. Now, I don't know if you remember, probably not, but in Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, we see these three groups of people, right? It says, O Israel, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield. So we have this broken record thing going on also in Psalm 115, and also addressing these three groups of people. I don't suppose you remember what they mean and what it refers to, would you? Well, house of Israel basically tells us, right, that God's people, God's covenant people, right? Israel is God's covenant people. And the big question I want to ask you is this: are we also Israel? Yeah, we are spiritual Israel. Now, someone please read Galatians 6:16. Galatians 6:16. So the Israel of God, the context of Galatians 6:16 is the church. Yes, we may not be ethnic Israel, but we are spiritual Israel. All right? So Israel not only refers to the old covenant people of God, it refers to us as the people of God. Now, house of Aaron, obviously they are the priests, the religious people. But the Bible also tells us that we are priests as well, right? We are a royal priesthood. That's what 1 Peter 2:9 tells us. And it also tells us, you that fear the Lord. So all who turn to God. In the early church, right, Acts 2:42 and 43, over in those verses we learn that, you know, they came together, they broke bread, they gathered around the apostles' doctrine, and fear came upon every soul. So, you know, in Psalm 115 and Psalm 118, you've got these three categories of people. Who is it referring to? Very specifically, referring to believers, right? God is merciful. He has a covenant love towards his people. I think that is very important. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think? Do you think that God is merciful? And, of course, we want to look at the word here is, the word merciful is autocorrect. It's supposed to be chesed, not chaste. Okay? C-H-E-S-E-D. This is the covenant love of God. Does God have this covenant love towards those who are not his people? What do you think? No. No. Okay, I think this is important. God is good to everyone. He is commonly gracious to everyone. But the covenant love The mercy of God that is spoken of here is only for his people, Israel, the house of Aaron, right? The ones who fear the Lord. Why do they give thanks? Because God's mercy endures forever, right? So this word for mercy is the same one as we saw last week from the Hebrew word chesed, right? Steadfast love, loving kindness, merciful kindness, love. And the Greek equivalent, as I said last week, is agape. And this is a love that will not let us go. No matter how much we sin against God, even though we are God's people, no matter how much we go against God, God still loves us, right? God still showers that love, right, upon his people. And that's why the psalmist here is telling the people to give thanks, because this steadfast love of God, right, will never let us go. You know, no matter how sinful we are, no matter how wicked we are, no matter how much we stray from him, God, because of this love towards his people, always calls us back. Right? So the psalmist is celebrating the fact that God remains steadfast and immovable in his love for us despite our failings. Now, Norman Snyth, who was a primitive Methodist, listen to these words that he once wrote. He wrote, God's loving kindness is that sure love which will not let Israel go. Not all Israel's persistent waywardness could ever destroy it. Though Israel be faithless, yet God remains faithful still. This steady, persistent refusal of God to wash his hands of wayward Israel is the essential meaning of the Hebrew word, which is translated as loving kindness, mercy, merciful kindness, steadfast love. Okay? So one thing that we can understand, and I think which we will hold and cling on to, is that God refuses to wash his hands of you and me because of this love. You know, very often, what do we think? I'm so sinful. You know, God's not going to accept my prayers. God's not going to receive me. These are all lies of the devil. Because God loves us, he accepts us. And this really goes to show the difference between God and us. Someone does us wrong once. Someone does us wrong a second time. Ah, we see that person cannot make it. Right? What do? We give up on that person. But God does not give up on us. So this is a persistent love of God that does not let his people go. Now, secondly, how does God show this enduring love to his people? Now, I think this is important. It is important for us to understand these psalms. Now, these psalms from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, these five psalms here, they constitute what is called the Hallel Psalms, right? Virtually all these psalms begin with praise the Lord. Now, these psalms are sung during festivals, especially during the Passover. And if you recall, you know, during the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal, you would have remembered that, you know, the Bible says, after they had supped, they sang a hymn. Correct? You remember that? It's in the Bible. Now, these psalms were sung during Passover, and Psalm 118 would have been the last psalm that Jesus sang. Now, after the Last Supper, where did Jesus go? Gethsemane, right? So this psalm was the last psalm, was the last song that he sang before he went to Gethsemane to prepare himself for the cross. And that is significant because these words here would have impacted his soul before he went to the garden. And it was probably these words that had strengthened Jesus to submit to God at Gethsemane. You know, initially Jesus said, this cup, let it pass from me. But what was the last thing that Jesus said? Not my will, but thine. Now I think it's important for us to study this psalm because the words here were the words which strengthened him. Now which were the words that strengthened him? In verse 22 to 25, it says, the stone which the builders refuse is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. So Jesus sang the psalm. In verse 22, what would he have realized? That he will be rejected. So he knows that. He knows he will be rejected. And this rejection, whose doing is it? The Lord's doing. So he knows that him going to the cross is something that is in God's plan. Now, all right, it is a day that has been confirmed. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Right? We will rejoice and be glad in it. And that day, what day is it? It is a day of salvation. Okay, so Jesus would have known all of this, singing Psalm 118 before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, verse 25 is interesting. It says, save now. Now, in Hebrew, the phrase save now is literally Hoshi Ana. What does that remind you of? Hosanna, right? Hosanna. All right, this psalm contains the words that were sung to Jesus by the crowds. You know, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, why is this important? This is important because Jesus knew that he was going to the cross to die in order to bring salvation. And at the cross, right, you see here, Luke 23:35, people were mocking Jesus. Right, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved himself, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Christ chose not to save himself. Why? Because the day that he is rejected and crucified, the day that the Lord has made, is a day of salvation. If he had saved himself, he would not be able to save anyone. I hope you see the connection here. So this psalm talks about how the mercy of God extends to his people. How? Christ was strengthened by the psalm to die on the cross. So God shows his enduring love to his people by not saving Christ so that he could save his people. Okay? Now, thirdly, even though God's enduring love extends to his people by the sacrifice of Christ, we also know that this psalm teaches us that God's enduring love also extends to Christ. Now you might be wondering, well, how does it extend to Christ? In the end, Christ died. You know, he died. Now, let me ask you, Christ withstood persecution, went to the cross. What was the motivation for him doing that? What does the Bible tell us? who for the what that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joy. Right? Who for the joy that was set before him. And we see, right, that from the psalm, right, he was strengthened to know that he could endure the will of the Father. You know, Christ knew that he would be crushed, but Christ also knew that he would be rescued. Right? And that's what we see in verse 5 to 7. You know, he knew that God would crush him. He knew that God would show him his wrath, but he knew that it was for 6 hours, and after that, God would rescue him. Now, verses 5 to 7 say, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. So essentially, verses 5 to 6 tell us that Jesus knew that God was on his side, right? And that is why he could draw encouragement from that enduring mercy of God. And of course, something else that encouraged Christ was verse 17 to 18, where it says, I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Jesus suffered, he died, but his death was temporary. God did not give him up to an eternal death. God, at the end, resurrected Christ. So from the psalm, we see that God has this love for his people that will not let them go. How was it manifested to his people? Christ died on the cross for them. But this mercy was also extended to Christ. In fact, this strengthened Christ to face the cross because he knew that he would be resurrected. He had been preaching about it all the time. He also knew that, you know, God was on his side. So the application for us is, well, we can give thanks to God. Why? Well, simply because his love will not let us go. This is expressed through Christ's death for us. He did not save himself so that he could save us. But on top of that, God delivered him, right? And because God delivered him, he can also deliver us. Despite the troubles we go through, God's mercy endures forever. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would instruct us from your word. There are times when we are faithless and we think that you don't love us and that you have left us. But we pray that you would convince us from this psalm that the love that you have towards your people, the Israel of God, the royal priesthood, and them that fear you, this love will never, ever let us go. We thank you that you chose to pour your wrath out on Christ in order to rescue us, but that even he who endured such anger and persecution from the people did so because he was strengthened by your love. So we pray, Lord, that you would instruct us that when we go through troubles, we would remember that your love will never let us go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.